Good morning, friends, and welcome to worship at First Baptist Church of Ann Arbor on this second Sunday of Easter. We're so glad that you're with us, either in this room or out there online. We are one, and we continue to celebrate Easter together. I invite you this morning to take a moment and look at the announcements of things that are happening in the life of this church. One of the things I want to make sure you know about is next Sunday. Marissa, I have that right? It's next Sunday. We hope that you will join us after worship for a Nicaraguan fiesta. The Amos Health and Hope Board of Directors are going to be meeting here in Ann Arbor later this week. This is one of our very strong mission partners, Amos Health and Hope in Nicaragua, long-term mission partners. And we are going to have a couple of them as part of our worship service sharing with us about the work that they do and that we are doing with them. And then afterwards, we're going to have a fiesta. We're going to have lunch, which will be safe or lower risk outside, and music, and just a good time. And it'll be a time to celebrate and also to learn. We hope you'll stick around for that next Sunday after worship. We also hope you'll stick around this Sunday after worship. Youth group as usual, but also we have our adult gathering in the Memorial Lounge with Pastor Paul. Don't make him be lonely. He will be looking forward to spending time with you. I want to make sure you see that this morning we, the congregation, will be singing along at the end. We have a congregational response to the offertory that the choir will be singing, and then we have a response that you can see in your bulletin insert. Let us pray for peace. Now is the time. Christ is alive, and in this very room, in our hearts, and loose in the world. Let's open our hearts and our minds now to all that means for our lives and for our world.
If you are able, please stand. Dear Lord, as we stand in awe of your goodness and mercy today, we invite you to be present amongst us by the power of your Holy Spirit. Thank you that you have made the way of love known through your Son, Jesus Christ. We pray that you would reveal this great love to us all today as we gather to worship. We ask that you would open our ears so that we may hear your voice. Open our minds so that we may receive your eternal wisdom. Open our spirit so that we may know your leading and guidance. And open our hearts so that we may receive your wonderful love. We ask this all in the glorious name of Jesus. Amen. From Psalm 145. I will give you glory, my God, my sovereign, and bless your name forever.
I will bless you day after day, and praise your name forever.
God, great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised.
God's greatness cannot be measured.
Age to age will speak of your glory and splendor.
All
your works shall give thanks to you, O Lord, and all your faithful shall bless you.
Now listen for the reading of the Gospel. This is from the Gospel of John. When it was evening of that first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the authorities, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they're forgiven. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." The word of the Lord.
Easter. Miss Ann is away today. She's watching Asher do some diving competition. So she asked me to come up and talk with you. My name is Sue Ellen, and I'm James and Emery's grandma. And you were thinking, this lady forgot that last Sunday was Easter. But you know what? It's still Easter here at church. And it's going to be Easter here at church for 5 more Sundays after today. But I have to tell you, and I'm sorry, we're not going to do egg hunts every Sunday. We had a big Easter last week. And now we have more Easters coming up. You know about seasons, right? We just got done with winter. Seems like only a couple days ago. And now it is what? Spring, right. And then we'll have summer and fall, and then it starts over again. Winter, spring, summer, and fall. We have seasons here at church, too. One way you can tell about the seasons at church is by the colors. The colors on the banners. We have a drape on the cross. The pastors have stoles. Those are called paraments. And for Easter, it is white. When you see a change in the color, you know that we've changed a church season. Now, can you imagine why we might want to have so many Sundays of Easter? Sammy says, well, I think it is because Easter is so, so important and special to those of us Christians. It's so amazing that Jesus came alive again. It's so awesome that God loves us so much that God gave us Jesus. It's so wonderful that Jesus loves us so much. And it is so important that we learn about Jesus and God's love so that we can love others. So, we talk about Jesus. And we're going to continue to talk about Jesus and Easter. The pastors are going to preach about Easter. We're going to sing about Easter. We're going to think about Easter. And we're going to learn Bible stories about Easter because it's really important. Easter, for us to be Easter people for a lot of Sundays. So, I'm going to say, Happy Easter again. And do you think that you can turn around and tell all those people Happy Easter with really excited voices? Can you do that? Turn around. Here we go. 1, 2, 3. Up. Okay. I'm going to say 1, 2, 3, and then you say Happy Easter. You folks can say it to the kids, okay? That's the way to get. 1, 2, 3. Happy Easter! Amen. Okay, now we're going to go upstairs.
Pray with me. Loving, living God, you made this new and beautiful day out of the abundance of your goodness, and we are here for it. You pour out your love on us out of the abundance of your goodness. And we are here for it. You surround us and fill us with your own self. And we are here for it. We are here to lift our praise to you. Living, loving God, in love you gave us your Son, Jesus Christ. By love, you broke the power of fear, shame, sin, and death when you raised him from the dead. Raise us too, O Lord, from death to life, from shame to love, from despair to hope, from fear to faith. Raise our hearts to the truth of your resurrection power. Trusting that power, we pray for all who suffer pain, fear, grief, anger, depression, guilt, or anything that threatens to oppress or hurt or overwhelm or defeat. We pray for Ukraine. We pray for school children living in fear after another school shooting. We pray for the pandemic situation all across this globe. We pray for all the suffering we don't even notice or that we ignore. Be near, O Lord. Draw us, draw our world close to you, close to your love, close to your way. Trusting that you are the way and the truth and all love, we also lift to you our prayers for those we know to name, for the family and friends of Diane Maynard, for Bob Reynolds, Edie Hurst, Joe and Kathy Mortensen, Ron Tipton, Esther Floyd, Marilyn Marsh, Laura Parmalee, Cheryl Slaughter, Mrs. Essie Slaughter, Ulysses Slaughter Jr., Fridell Jones, Katie Mason, Tom and Terry Rubenstein, for John Rowe, Faye Key, Leah Grange, Lisa Hess, for Carl, Chris Ledyard Argus, and Marin Brager. We also offer our private prayers to you in silence. O Lord, yours is the victory over injustice and evil. Yours is the power. Yours is the glory and the goodness. Beyond all we can hope or imagine, You have set us free. Help us to believe it and to live it. Help us to embody your good news set loose in our world. We pray all these things and more in the name of the one who lived and died and was raised all for our sake and who taught us how to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
At this last community Good Friday service, a few days ago, one of the preachers there told how a friend of hers said, Good Friday is a service she much prefers to the service at Easter. The reason is, of course, Good Friday seems real in a way that Easter doesn't. And really, who can argue with that? A body in pain, corrupt leaders, jeering crowd, violence, cruelty, grief, unutterable sorrow. These we know as real. And Easter. Happy day, big crowd, great news, great music. But the story itself, Jesus dead, then not dead, an empty tomb, an angel or two, wondrous encounters with the women, then with others. They have doubts and fears and great rejoicing. He greets and welcomes and assures and instructs and commissions them. The news of it all is thrilling. The power of evil and death are overcome. Love is unconquerable and gets the final word. The kingdom of this world is become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ. Christ is alive with us and is alive everywhere. Or as Frederick Buechner put it, resurrection means that the worst thing is not the last thing. But all of it comes to us as a story with elements unfamiliar to life as we know it. It comes to us as report, as witness, as conviction and testimony concerning things unseen by us. Contrast it with countless dead bodies in Ukraine. And 5 million of them now fleeing. And similar scenes in the Middle East and in Africa and in South Asia. Now look at the bodies of a great many unarmed black men shot dead in our country. And the shooters of school children. And the global miseries of the desperately poor. Contrast the message of Easter also with the garbage of politics, endless around us, and with the moral dysfunction and self-serving in so much of the church. Contrast it also with my own, your own, continuing personal brokenness. I feel Good Friday in my gut. See it every day spread out before my eyes. But in our lived experience, How real to you seems the news that Christ is risen? And if he is, how real is the difference? Sharply pertinent to that question is the resurrection appearance story that we have heard again just now. This is on Easter Sunday, the very day his disciples are gathered in a space that is closed. We need not think of them as only the male apostles. Sometimes in a gospel, the word disciples refer to anyone who follows him. So imagine a room with men and women, with old and young. Like us, they've all heard an Easter story. To varying degrees in the room, they believe it. But for most of them there, for most of them, the news isn't real enough, not yet, to indicate much of a difference at all as to their situation. You can see this by looking at the door they are gathered behind. It is bolted shut. And it has been bolted out of fear. For good reason, they assume that the killers of Jesus will now be rounding up his followers and associates. So take shelter, lock the door. And there they are, not only in their anxiety, but in their grief, their confusion, and for some of them, most likely, their guilt. And the risen Christ is there. Comes right to where they are, stands in the middle of their anxiety and grief and guilt. A locked door is nothing. Divine love passes through our defenses, our sense of what's not possible. If a shut tomb cannot keep him out, a shut church, if a shut tomb can't keep him in, a shut church can't keep him out. Notice most of all that he does not chide them for their feelings now. Doesn't chide them even for ways they may have failed him before. All he says is shalom. Peace. And then he stretches out his arms to them to show them where his hands had been ripped open by the iron spikes that were driven through them. And he shows them where the spear thrust had split him. Why? If he is risen, why not come to them as a figure of shimmering light? Or at least in a body healed and made beautiful. Why do these ghastly wounds have to be there? And why make the disciples look closely at them? Maybe to show them that this is the worst the world can do. So take courage. The worst is overcome. Or maybe to say, go on and look. You're right. Cruelty, evil, suffering, death are real and go on being real, horribly real, and you and the world will keep facing all of it, and the love of God will go on bearing it with the world and with you. See, this is real. And the bearing of it to God is real. And he says to them again, Shalom. Peace. And then swiftly, he changes the subject from the truth of the wounds to the truth of his friends. He looks at them and says, just as the Father has sent me, so I am sending you. As the Father sent me, I'm sending you now. Can you hear in those words how profoundly he honors them and us? As God has trusted me, so I am trusting you. As God commissioned me, I commission you. As God crowned my life with purpose, I crown your life with that very purpose. I imagine their heads bowed and their faces then lifted, like people just being knighted. On the other hand, maybe some of them are horrified. I mean, he's just shown them his wounds. As God has sent me, so I'm sending you. Jesus, we are sent as God sent you. What? To tell people truth they don't want to hear? To be disliked, misunderstood? Be friends with people that other people don't want? You send us to lay hands on disease and cure it? To confront government, religion, society? To challenge the powers that be? You send us to engage ourselves with perfect strangers? To let ourselves feel all that pain? To laugh? You send us to laugh? And be joyous and generous and celebrate in such a world as that. And to love anybody and give everything, everything, to forgive, to lay down our life. You cannot mean to send us as God sent you. And he says, as God sent me, I am sending you. And then he does the strangest thing. He breathes on them. How are we to imagine that moment? I imagine his face drawing near to theirs. Their own eyes closed, their faces lifted as they feel this gentle breathing. They are breathing it in. No need to think of this as CO2. In their language, breath and wind and spirit are all the very same word. See this as the Spirit of Jesus breathed into them. Imagine it delicious, golden, intimate, warming. And he says to them, receive the Holy Spirit. If this sounds like something out of nowhere, it is not. It's a reenactment of an old creation story from the book of Genesis. Do you know it? That old primal story of a brand new world and a garden, newly created, and God leaning down and taking dust and molding it into the form of a human. then bending and breathing into its nostrils, and the lifeless figure becomes, as the old story says, a living soul. So now here is Jesus, coming to these friends in their grief, their fear, their weakness, showing them the truth of evil overcome, pronouncing peace over them, telling them he's sending them as he was sent, and then making them alive. As if till now they've been inert, lifeless clay, but his life-giving spirit now enlivens them, quickens them. It is a new world, and they can breathe in it. They are created. They are risen from the dead. And with that, his earlier words become possible. I'm sending you as I was sent, to speak truth to your world as I've done, work wonders of love as I did, to challenge and celebrate and forgive and pour yourselves out for love's sake. And now I have raised you up to live your resurrected life. And this is the answer to how, real or not, the Easter news we find to be. It was never about how Jesus could walk through locked doors, nor even about a stone removed from his grave. What Easter largely is about is that Christ empowers his people, risen, raising them and us to a new life in his spirit, and sends them and us to live as his risen body. Now, God's children, awakened, enlivened, empowered, are the resurrection of Jesus made visible. Mary Carr wrote a poem imagining Christ dead and then risen. Here's part of it. Lonely in that void, even for pain, he missed his splintered feet. He ached for two hands he could reach to the end of. And then in the corpse's core, the stone fist of his heart began to bang on the stiff chest's door. And breath spilled back into that battered shape, and now it's your limbs he longs to flow into and from the sunflower center in your chest, outward as warm water shatters at birth, rivering every way. He ached for hands he could reach to the end of. Now it's your limbs he longs to flow into and from. Which is to say, the resurrection is now. Christ's new life in our life, here and now. With his spirit breathing in us, he says it again, I am sending you, sending out of a locked up church, out of a locked up mind, out of your locked up life, sending you to be more alive in this world than you have been, and sending you together to be the ever living body of Christ. And let's please not forget, it's to the gathered group that he gives the Spirit and the command. The you in So Send I You is plural. Had Jesus been from the American South, as the Father has sent me, so send I y'all. Which is a mighty good thing. Since I by myself or you by yourself do not have a shot at being the risen Christ in the world. So thank God that above all, Christ is risen into the life of the community. And your part and my part is to rise with each other, lean on and stand by with each other, joined in the breathing of that free and joyous spirit, to do nothing less than the risen Christ will go on doing in our time together. I love the ancient words that we speak together at the beginning of worship every year on Easter Sunday morning. And more than ever, I love the final word that we say. You know how it goes. We say, the Lord is risen. The Lord is risen. He is risen. That's the word. Yes, it's real. Look to love's expressed faithfulness among us and within you, in our shared life, my life and your life. See love's faithfulness in it all. Let it rise and reach and love through us, and see the Lord is risen. Indeed. And it's not just feelings that make it real or words that make it real, affirmations in worship that make it real. It's the real stuff of our lives, the material stuff too. And so as always, it is fitting that near close of worship, we feel ourselves invited to give of our material possession, including of our time and our energies. Whether you are joining us online or gathered here to receive past offering plates, we are all invited to make our best gifts in response, to make it real, the work and life of the risen Christ.
Thank you.
Let us pray for peace. Let us extend to each other peace. His first resurrection word to his friends was peace. May the peace of Christ be with you.
Love your neighbor as yourself. Go in peace to follow God.